Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Stay Afloat, My CEO, Season 1, by Anchal Budiraja, narrated by Mila Ritha. Chapter 1, Caught by My Handsome CEO. After a much-heated internal debate, I concluded that my CEO could only be a robot. Noah Jung was a super rich, handsome, and intelligent machine. That was the only plausible explanation for his invincible existence. As his receptionist, there weren't many opportunities for us to interact, but with a direct view of his office from my desk, I could even write a thesis on him. In my 3 years at the Jung Group, he never missed a day of work. No sick days and no breaks. Ever. The only fuel he required was his expensive imported coffee. No sugar, no cream. Even his facial muscles had only 3 settings. A business smile for his clients, a straight face for his employees, and the faintest of frowns that meant the situation was beyond irreparable. Someone was going to be fired. It would have been tolerable, but the problem was he expected the same kind of dedication from us. The overwork made us feel like we were one failed experiment away from turning into zombies. But how would a robot understand the ways of humans? I suspected that he was truly unaware that we worked to live, and not the other way around. A conformist by nature, rules were the love of his life. Anything was achievable if we kept by his standards. But what if one of us broke his rules? Unfortunately, none survived to tell the tale. As a sane member of the human population, I should have known better than to take the risk. Breaking his rules was a cardinal sin, but I had no other choice. No, I didn't sell off our secrets to our rival yacht company or add sugar to his favorite Jamaican coffee. But I did the one thing he hated the most. I took up another job after work. I was walking on eggshells, but I believed I had perfected my crime. Sharp at 7, I would shut my computer, exchange my nude heels for my white sneakers, and rush to the public pool to teach swimming. There were occasional run-ins with my colleagues and insistent dinner invites, but I always had an excuse ready. I'd successfully evaded their company, but also kicked away my social life. At least there was one person beside me. "Isla, come out before you turn into a prune," Lucy shouted from the other end of the pool. I chuckled and looked at my wrinkly fingers. She was right. I stepped out of the water and removed my swimming cap. My mass of dark hair fell over my back and stuck to my skin. "What's for dinner?" "We hit the jackpot. They expire tonight." Lucy pulled out sandwiches from her apron. "Get changed. I'll luck my snack cart." "Yes, ma'am." I worked on autopilot. Shower, dress, pack up. I smiled when I saw the date on my phone. Salary day tomorrow. Finally, something to look forward to. Olivia's college fees were due soon. I could transfer the amount to my sister, send money to my parents, and still have enough for expenses in the city. Working 2 jobs was finally paying off. I walked out of the locker room when I heard Lucy shout from reception, "Go back!" "Come on," the man laughed. "My friend's already in there. We paid to rent out the whole pool." "I didn't see anyone," Lucy shouted. "Don't you know me?" he countered. "If you have enough money to rent out the pool, why can't you afford a proper swimsuit? What is that, a banana hammock?" Lucy busted up laughing. "You don't like it? I'm a swimsuit model," he cried out. "Look at the poster behind you." What is going on out there? I gave up unlocking the room and hurried towards them.
Splash!
The sound stopped me in my tracks. I was the last person to leave the pool. Then who was in there right now? A ghost? Goosebumps rose over my skin, and I quickly shook my head. It must be his friend. Right. I walked over to the pool and narrowed my eyes. Empty. I frowned. Was it my imagination? As I turned away, a flash of movement caught my eye. At the far end of the pool, a hand shot out of the water and disappeared. Panic gripped me as I realized someone was drowning. I rushed in again. The head bobbed up to the surface. It was just a glimpse, but I knew who it was in an instant. This time, I panicked for a different reason. Why was he here? I, Isla Rose, was screwed, because right now, the person drowning in the pool was none other than my CEO, Noah Jung. I wanted to cry at my rotten luck. Of all the places he could have been, why this shady public pool? He was a millionaire, for heaven's sake.
Help!
The desperate voice snapped my attention back to him. My instincts kicked in, and I ran towards him. I was about to lose my day job. I knew it, but I didn't have any choice. CEO or not, I had to save him. I picked up the rescue tube and jumped in. Cold water enveloped me. Adrenaline pumped in my veins as I swam deeper inside. I spotted him instantly. He desperately kicked around, his movements slowing with each passing second. I swam behind him and hooked my arms under his armpits. He pushed his weight over me, and our legs tangled together. My muscles protested, but I continued to pull him upwards. His movements slowed until they stopped altogether. Don't tell me. I swam harder. Just a bit more, please. We broke through the water. I gasped and shouted, "Hold the tube!" He didn't respond. I gritted my teeth, wrapped an arm around his limp torso, and swam towards the edge of the pool. My energy was draining fast, and I struggled to pull the man twice my size. Our cheeks pressed together as I glanced at him. His eyes were closed, but the moment he would open them, I knew I would be doomed. With effort, I pulled him out of the pool. He remained motionless. I took in short, quick breaths as I inched my face closer to him. Was he breathing? Noah coughed and sputtered water on my face. I yelped and pulled back. Slowly, he opened his eyes. The pitch-black irises stared at me with an unwavering intensity. My stomach squeezed, and I gave him an uneasy smile. "Are you okay?" Recognition hit him. His eyes widened, and he whispered,
"You."
I averted my eyes and bit my lip.
Yes, sir.
Noah touched my hand resting on his face, and I quickly pulled it back.
"Miss Rose, you work here."
"Yes," I couldn't lie. Not when there was "swimming instructor" written on my t-shirt. Our eyes met, and blood rushed to my face. This was it. I'd broken his biggest rule, and he had caught me. Tomorrow, I would be updating my resume and looking for new jobs.
"You are fired."
I pursed my lips and waited for him to say those words. However, a strange look entered his eyes, and he took my hand in his. With a serious expression, he said,
"Teach me how to swim."
Chapter 2. An Irresistible Offer. The robot called Noah Jung had malfunctioned. Perhaps there was a problem with his wiring, or maybe water had damaged his settings. In any case, something was horribly wrong. What else could explain what he just said?
"Ms. Rose?"
Noah squeezed my hand. He bore his eyes into mine again and asked,
"Are you listening?"
Before I could respond, someone shouted, "Noah!" We turned to see the distressed figure. I knew him, of course. Jake Byrne, Noah's best friend and a semi-successful model. He had stopped munching on his snack from Lucy's cart to investigate the scene. Lucy strolled in after him, then spotted us and gasped. Noah struggled to rise, and Jake quickly helped him up. He cursed and asked, "What the heck happened?"
"I'm fine."
Noah tried to brush it off, but he was still trembling.
"Find my ass?"
Jake dragged him away. "Let's go to the hospital." Still stunned, I looked away from them when Lucy draped a towel over me. She rubbed my shoulders and said,
"You don't look any better, Isla. Let's take you home."
My head was throbbing by the time I reached home. I was too confused to even explain to Lucy what had happened. Why was Noah drowning in the pool? Why had he asked me to teach him swimming? I groaned and twisted in my bed. Did he really mean it? That was impossible. I'd broken his rules. He should have fired me on the spot. Yet he was offering me another job? I didn't know whether to laugh or cry at this situation. What was this new feature that I'd unlocked in his system? Could I get a refund? My phone rang and I shot up straight, almost expecting it to be Noah. I relaxed when I saw it was my mother. "Hello?"
"What happened?" my mother asked as she stifled a yawn. "Is something wrong?"
I pulled the phone away from my ear and stared at it. I hadn't accidentally picked up a video call, and I was pretty sure she hadn't installed hidden cameras in my cramped studio apartment. Just how was she able to deduce so much from a greeting? I sighed and said, "A little tired from managing the kids at my class."
"Tired? In 2 hours?"
she tisked. "How will you raise your kids then?"
"Mom,"
I rolled my eyes. She had been like this since I turned 25 last year, always on the topic of marriage or children, like a typical Indian mother.
"You don't have to stay up so late to call me every day."
She ignored my nagging and asked, "What did you have for dinner?" I eyed the half-eaten sandwich and said,
"My favorite, biryani. Is Dad home? Did you tell him not to work so late?"
"Can't you hear him?" She must have put the phone next to his face because I heard a thunderous snore. I startled and she laughed.
"Why does he need to worry when his daughter earns so much, huh? Come over this weekend."
My chest tightened at her words. "I might have extra classes then. Next time?"
"It's always next time with you," she sighed.
"Stop eating sandwiches and cook yourself a decent meal, okay?" Caught again, my cheeks flushed, and I mumbled, "Fine. Talk to you tomorrow." Unable to sleep, I flipped through my journal and paused on a page. Sometime last week, I doodled Noah's face onto it. I stared at the amateur caricature. Suddenly irritated at his angelic features, I drew horns over his head and gave him a wicked grin. That suited him better. I chuckled, but the sound lacked any humor. My stomach squeezed as the gravity of the situation dawned on me again. I wouldn't have taken up another job if I wasn't in desperate need of money. But now I jeopardized the only thing keeping our family afloat. How would I break the news to them? Tears stung my eyes, but I didn't allow myself to cry. It was my fault, and tomorrow I had to face the consequences. Noah called me in just after lunch. I almost floated inside his office like a ghost. I was so out of it. My stomach twisted from both hunger and the impending doom. I hadn't eaten the entire day. Dressed in one of his crisp Italian suits, Noah exuded an otherworldly charm. Even the sun seemed to be a paid actor, its rays bouncing off the glass panes, giving him an ethereal glow. A lock of his dark brown hair fell over his forehead, and he brushed it off as he looked up. There was no trace of any trauma on his face from last night. Whatever defect it had been, it was likely fixed now.
You've surprised me, Miss Rose,
Noah started. He walked over to stand in front of me. I fisted my hands and braced myself. Leaning on his desk, he asked,
What's our number one rule?
No second jobs allowed. It was my worst fear come to life, but my voice was steady. It can tarnish the company's image, burn out the employees, make them lose focus.
Good. I don't need to explain it to you, Noah said. Starting tomorrow, you won't be working.
It was inevitable, but I didn't know it would be so quick and ruthless. There was no sugarcoating and no filler words. I was fired. The thought crushed me, but all I could do was accept my fate.
At that pool, at least, Noah continued. Instead, you'll be working for me, as my swim instructor.
He picked up some papers and offered them to me.
Your new contract.
It took me a moment to register his words. My knees wobbled, and I held on to the chair. In a breathless voice, I asked, I still have my receptionist job?
If you agree to my offer, yes.
Noah smiled, his arm still extended, and said,
Whatever you earned at the pool, I promise you triple the amount.
If it hadn't been for the support, I might have melted into a puddle. I wanted to take my words back. My CEO hadn't just malfunctioned. Rather, someone had rebooted his system and coded in a different person.
Decide, Ms. Rose.
Noah slid the papers into my hands. Lose your receptionist job, or agree to be my swim instructor and continue to work here. The smooth paper felt like a hot potato in my hands. There had to be a trap somewhere. How could anything be so good? My heart thudded inside my chest as I met his gaze. There was nothing in his eyes to extinguish my uneasiness. Even though my instincts screamed at me to take a step back and reevaluate this situation, I'd already decided what I was going to do. I extended my hand and said, I agree. Noah flashed me his business smile and enveloped my hand with his.
It's settled then. The first lesson is tonight.
I steeled myself and nodded. So what if I was up against my CEO? If I needed to survive in this world? I was ready to befriend the devil himself. Chapter 3. The First Lesson. Did I walk into a Hollywood set? That was my first thought as I stepped out of the elevator and into the luxurious, over-the-top terrace pool. I knew our office was in one of the more upscale parts of the city, but I had only witnessed hints of its grandeur until now. The VIP-only gym at the top of our office building screamed, "Filthy rich!" I stared at the French windows and the breathtaking view of the city beyond. Under the twilight sky, the short course pool gleamed a deep blue, its color a perfect match to my eyes. The only feature I inherited from my father, apparently. I didn't even need a siren to lure me into the water. I wanted to jump right in and stay inside forever. Noah cleared his throat and I straightened up. I'd forgotten I wasn't alone. He pointed towards the changing room, and I strode past him with flaming cheeks. The opulent surroundings only reminded me that I had dived headfirst into this mess, and there was no rescue team coming to fish me out of it. Not until Noah learned how to swim. However, I was confident about my abilities. I had taught hundreds of students, albeit children, to swim. How difficult could one adult be? After a quick warm-up, I jumped into the empty pool. My body buzzed in delight at the perfect warmth, a stark contrast to the bone-chilling and skin-peeling temperatures at the public pool. I swam to the edge of the pool and called out, "Come in, Mr. Jung." Noah stood a few feet away,
wearing decently sized swimming trunks. But that wasn't what held my attention. My gaze traveled down from his sculpted face to his chiseled body. It wasn't my first time seeing him shirtless. There had been plenty of opportunities yesterday. But this time, my mind wasn't occupied with saving him or figuring out how to keep my job. I could only say one thing. Those Italian suits didn't do him any justice. With difficulty, I snapped my gaze back to his face and gave him a polite smile. The temperature is perfect for swimming. Noah acted as if he didn't hear me. Okay. Had it been a kid, I would have simply carried him in my arms and walked into the pool. My common sense told me that wouldn't work in this scenario. I stepped onto the ladder and extended my hand. We'll stay at the edge, sir. Just step in. Noah met my gaze. That worked, a bit. I promise to hold your hand, I added. It felt strange coddling my CEO like this, but it also gave me a weird rush of power, as if I had finally witnessed a bug in his system and figured out he wasn't quite so much of a robot. Come inside, sir. A little hesitant, Noah slipped his hand into mine. My stomach fluttered at his warm touch, and I held on to it tightly lest he change his mind. I took a step back from the ladder and made space for him to enter the pool. He submerged himself waist down in the water and closed his eyes. For the first time this evening, he spoke. I'll stay here, Miss Rose. I let him get used to the water. The two of us stood on the floor of the pool, Noah holding onto the ladder with his left hand and gripping me with his right. Our height difference became even more perceptible in this position. He was at least a foot taller than me. I watched his face and startled when he opened his eyes. I quickly asked, "Would you like to submerge in the water, sir?" I bit my lower lip. Our conversation was so ridiculous without context. Lucy would have laughed herself hoarse if she overheard it. But Noah didn't seem to think too much of it. Rather, his eyes went wide and there was a flash of fear in them. If it was someone else, I would have pushed it a bit more. But how was I supposed to coerce him? He might be my student, but he was also my CEO. It's just like washing your face. A dip. I demonstrated by ducking my head underwater and pulling out. And you're done. When Noah didn't show any interest, I scooped some water into my free hand and sprinkled it onto his face. At this point, any kid was bound to squeal and giggle. Who didn't love a water fight? Noah's face twisted into a frown. I knew that look. My grin vanished and fear crawled back into my stomach. Did I mess everything up even before we started? Noah touched his wet face and then looked at me. I swallowed as I waited for the verdict. After a moment, he said, "Why don't you swim a lap, Miss Rose?" Was this his way of dismissing me? I hesitated. I didn't want to leave him alone. But it was still better than standing under his watchful eyes and committing another grave mistake. I'll let go of your hand then, I said. The moment I pulled away, Noah gripped the other handle of the ladder and pasted himself flat to the wall. I swam away, still facing him, afraid he might panic if left alone. When it seemed that he was all right, I relaxed and decided to swim a lap. Once again, I lost myself in the water. It was strange. I'd been swimming all my life. Yet each time, it was a unique experience. Today, with each stroke, I felt myself grow lighter, like I was shedding my troubles and concerns, and the water was taking all of it unflinchingly. There was no judgment and no expectations, and it never asked for anything in return. Like the soft, caressing hand of my grandmother, it soothed me and lulled me to peace. I released a contented sigh and glided through the water with a smile. The lap was over soon, and when I swam back towards Noah, he was staring at me. I wanted to ask him if he was ready to take a dip, but his expression took me off guard. He looked as if he was in awe? That didn't make any sense. Noah cleared his throat and said, I chose a great swim teacher. Heat crept up my cheeks, and I cursed my suddenly rapid heartbeat. Why was I so easily affected by simple praise? I smiled and said, I enjoy swimming.
Is that why you teach it? He asked.
My smile faltered. What was I supposed to tell him? That I was poor? That I did what I could to earn money? Instead, I found myself saying, there are so many talented private instructors. You could have hired anyone, sir. Noah cocked his head, waiting for me to go on. So I dammed my big mouth and asked him the question that had been bugging me all day. Why did you hire me? Chapter 4. The Devil Beside Me. Noah didn't immediately rebuke my question. Instead, there was a hint of amusement in his eyes, as if he had been intellectually tickled and couldn't be more eager to explain why. In one simple move, he pulled himself out of the water and sat at the edge of the pool. Water dribbled down his sculpted body, and his swimming trunks clung to his majestic thighs. I tried not to stare. Come here. Noah patted the space between the ladder and him. I raised my eyebrows, and he motioned again. Biting my lip, I hopped out of the pool. My one-piece swimsuit stuck to my skin, but I didn't shy away from him. There was nothing much to see, anyway. Years of swimming and poor diet only left me with a slim body and tanned, dusky skin. It was a wonder that the chlorine hadn't damaged my hair yet. My shoulders brushed against his as I sat down. The heat of his skin sent goosebumps down mine. I sighed. Was I so touch-starved that even this tickled me? Still, I couldn't blame my body. I'd just been trying to survive all these years. Dating hadn't even crossed my mind. I expected Noah to shift away, but he stayed put. Somehow, the fact that we were all alone in the swimming pool resurfaced inside my head. My already inflamed cheeks turned hotter. I took a few calming breaths and chanted a reminder. Noah might look like an angel, but he is the devil holding both of my jobs at stake.
Let me ask you a question, Noah murmured.
I turned towards him. My breath hitched when I realized his face was inches away from mine. I croaked out, Yeah?
Suppose you have a choice, he began, unfazed by our closeness. You can choose to merge with a fancy company with unknown credibility, or a small company with 100% known credibility. What would you do?
I blinked and snapped my gaze away from him. I hadn't expected him to ask a business question. Hoping that he wasn't using me as his business advisor, that would be a grave mistake. I thought over it. A fancy company might look attractive, but it didn't guarantee anything. Whereas a small company might not attract many customers, but it could deliver on its promise. I licked my lips and said, The second option. That would be the safest route. Noah's eyes twinkled in delight.
Exactly. That's what I did.
Huh?
I trust you to save me again.
He pointed between us.
Because you already did once, Ms. Rose. 100% guarantee.
I was speechless for a moment. I smiled when I thought that he trusted me with his life. But then I was irked that he was comparing me to a business model. Though his way of explaining raised some doubts, I concluded it was a very Noah-like thing to say.
So you trust me, right?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?